Amen. Let's see here. Where do we want to start? With word of prayer? That'd be good. And who knows a story in the Gospels where there were devils involved? I'll ask that before we go to prayer. A story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John where devils sort of... Where is it? Where is it? Yeah, I said where, not what. Does anybody know where? All right, you figure it out. That's where we'll start when we start here in a minute. Okay. Anybody have any prayer requests before we pray? Hope. Hunter is going to get his little leg cut off tomorrow. I mean his cast cut off tomorrow. That was close. We hope. Oh. Well, we got the whole week planned out for him for not having his cast on. You hear it? All right. I saw that ominous look from upstairs. That always tells me my mic's not working. Yes, Melissa. Yeah. Death stings. You don't have to be saved to know that. That's even lost people get that. And so pray for Katie. All right. Yes, Cindy. Okay. Okay. Cubby and Cindy's kid. Well, you're in. And the grandkids. You're in the right place when it comes. They're not under attack from people. It's not the people you worry about, but it's the principalities and the powers. And. Yeah. So the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, that's what's behind everything. Especially when you're saved and other people are not. Devils don't like saved people, and we don't like them right back. Okay? So maybe that's where we'll start, and then we'll look at Luke 8 and just go from there. But we're going to talk about devils. Courtney. Okay. Okay. Amen. So you had injections and they feel good. You are not my daughter. Can't be. All right, we'll pray for Courtney. Mackenzie's knee. You're the official hope translator or loudspeaker. All right. Pray for our trip to Kenya. It's coming up in 2 weeks, talking about devils. And although the last trip I took to Kenya, they left me alone pretty much. And I have a theory on that. But anyway, so just pray. There's a lot involved here. And again, there's something going on this trip that I can't tell you about, but it's really, really good. Okay? So be watching when I get to Kenya. Be watching for me to tweet something. You'll know it when you see it. All right? So, but just pray for Lisa and I. Michael and Alicia is going to be leaving earlier than we are to get everything prepared. And pray for us. Pray for Brother Mike Hutzel and Jason Hutzel, who's also going and ministering, preaching with us. And I'll be preaching in many different places. And just pray that God will lay upon my heart what to preach to the people over there. Some of it is going to be evangelistic. Some of it is just teaching. And so just pray that God will lay on my heart what He would have me to say, what He would have me to do. Pray for the people of Samburu. Pray for the people of Turkana. And lift them up before the Lord tonight. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to have you all with us tonight. You folks online, we love you. And we appreciate you joining in with us. You are the reason why we do what we do. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for tonight. And thank you, Lord, for what you're about to show us from your word. And Father, we thank you, dear God, that you, with your word, give us a glimpse into the world that we cannot see with our eyes, but we see with our faith. And Father, the world doesn't get to see this. So they don't understand all the things that happen and why things happen in their life. But Father, we're fixing to expose the working and the realm of your enemies, our enemies, my enemies. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Lord, you would guide us. And Father, maybe some things that have happened in our life will make sense to some people. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to discern what is true and what is a lie, because we know who the father of lies is, and we know, Lord, where these lies come from. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would just bless us tonight and bless these requests that have been mentioned. Lord, you are the one who heard these things, and you know, Lord, the working, the healing that you can do. Father, we just trust you, Lord, that you will do what honors you, what pleases you, but Father, Lord, what blesses your people at the same time. And Father, we pray, God, that you would, again, Lord, you'd just bless our service tonight. And Lord, prepare us for days ahead of us. Prepare us, dear God, as we get ready to go to Kenya. God, that you would lay it on my heart what you would have me to say. And Father, just bless the good people there. And I thank you, Lord, for the just the outpour of love that they have shown to me and to this church. And I pray, dear God, that you would guide us, Lord, and that you would keep us safe, protect us, Father. Bring us there, bring us back home safely. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in which you would that we trust in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. So you said Luke chapter 8, Aaron. Luke chapter 8, verse 30. Jesus dealt with devils quite a bit in his ministry. In fact, if you look up the word devils in the Pure Bible Search software, you'll see it mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. But you will see it mentioned more in the four Gospels and in some of the things that Paul wrote about, more so than anywhere else in the Bible. Just the word devils is mentioned 55 times in your Bible. And I'll tell you that just the word Satan is mentioned also 55 times in the same Bible. So there's a connection there, and of that I have no doubt. We have the story here in Luke chapter 8 of a man in verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. There's a couple things about this I want you to understand. The devils did to this human man. Number one, it is in our nature to wear clothes. Amen? It's in our nature to cover our bodies. Number two, it is in our nature to abide in a house, a covering of some kind. From the biggest mansion in the world to the smallest hut in somewhere else, we like to abide in a place of our own. It is not in our nature to want to spend the night in a cemetery. Very few people do this. What you see here is this devils, or these devils, had taken over this man's mind and turned him into a beast. Beast animals do not wear clothes. Many of them sleep where they stop. And they don't mind if they're sleeping in a cemetery or not. I mean, when he saw Jesus, he cried out. It was, I believe, well, it could be him or it could be the devils, but I think this man was reaching out to Jesus and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High, the Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." That was, I think, the devils speaking out of him. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands. This man broke iron chains. I don't have the strength. Anybody ever broke a pair of handcuffs? I mean, that's why cops use handcuffs all the time, is that no one is able to break out. I mean, I've seen guys go, "I'll show you what I can do," and then they can't break them. This guy had supernatural strength in him, and his body had the ability to break these iron. Iron is stronger than bone. But this man had supernatural ability. I don't know how that works, but he had the ability to break the iron fetters without breaking his bones. Just like some people have the ability to walk over hot coals, don't tell me that's something you can do with your mind to make your... Don't give me that nonsense. That's devils. Pure and simple. Anyway, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now, when your Bible says that, it means exactly what it says. It's not telling you that these had some sort of impact on his life, but they weren't actually possessing his body. They were possessing his body. They were taking control of his mind, of his body, of his faculties. Whatever those devils wanted to do with that man, they did, and he had zero power to resist those devils. And something I'm going to toss in here. What? I guess. Anyway, he had... I don't know where that came from. But anyway, what was I saying? He had the power to, I know that part. I forgot what I was saying. Blah. Anyway, Jesus asked him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into them. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That's the devils talking, not the man. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. So these devils knew Jesus could do something, and that is command them to be cast into the bottomless pit, because that's what they were afraid of. They said that he would not command them to go out into the deep. The deep is another word for, or another phrase for, the pit. And they were afraid because they knew that Jesus had the power to say, "Crawl in that pit and stay there, and we're going to lock you up." And here's my thinking. I think these devils knew that God had taken a group of angels and actually cast them into the bottomless pit, and they were held there. And I think they knew that, and we're going to learn that later. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. So they got choked, no matter what. Okay? But anyway, this man did not have power over his own faculties. He did not have power over his own body. Whatever these devils commanded this man to do, that's what he did. And he had zero power to resist them whatsoever. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. We're going to learn this is what they are. Ephesians 6. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Think about that phrase. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so our fight is with devils and against their power. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I'm gonna ask you on every place, turn to these passages. I'll give you 3.7 seconds to get to each one. No, I'll give you a little bit longer than that. Deuteronomy 32. The Bible says they are sacrificed unto devils. The question is, who are these devils? Deuteronomy 32 is part of answering that question. They are sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not. So, you make a note, you underline the phrase devils and gods, and that's part of the answer. Little g, gods, are the devils. To new gods that came newly up. What does that sound like to anybody? Does that look familiar to anybody? What are you thinking? Huh? Locusts, that's pretty good. That's not what I was thinking, but that's pretty good. Gods that came newly up. Saul. The witch at Endor said, I saw gods coming up out of the earth. Because one of those gods, little g, devils, was the familiar spirit pretending to be Samuel that Saul saw. I got to make sure I pronounce those two words correctly. Saul saw. All right? So anyway, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. So, devils, little g, gods, they are the same. Now, look up on the screen. This is not a place to turn in your Bible. I told John this before church. 20 years ago, I didn't know. I thought I knew where devils came from, but then I read a book called the Book O Enoch. And it's a pretend book. Enoch did not write a book. The Bible does not tell you that. There was no book that survived the flood that Enoch wrote. The Book of Enoch is part of a group of literature called Pseudepigrapha. Pseuda means like pseudonym, meaning that somebody else wrote this book and put by Enoch on it. But Enoch didn't write it. But I believed 20 years ago that Enoch wrote this book. So I fell for it. And this article I want you to listen. This is what people are reading on the internet. This article says, everyone familiar with the Bible knows it talks about angels and demons, but most would be surprised to learn that there's no verse in the Bible that explains where demons come from. Deuteronomy 32:17. Christians typically assume that demons are fallen angels cast from heaven with Satan, the devil, right before the temptation of Adam and Eve. But guess what? There's no such story in the Bible. Deuteronomy 32:17. The only description of anything like that is in Revelation 12:9. But the occasion for that whole episode was the birth of the Messiah, an event long after Adam and Eve. This guy's an idiot. The idea of a primeval fall of angels actually comes from church tradition, liar, and the great English poet John Milton in his epic Paradise Lost. This guy doesn't read his Bible. So if the Bible doesn't record an ancient expulsion from heaven by hordes of angels who then became known as demons, where do demons come from? There's actually a straightforward answer to that question, but it's likely one you've never heard of, and that's because it's a lie. In ancient Jewish texts, Paul told us to not believe Jewish fables, Jewish traditions. He said, don't believe them. So what did I do 20 years ago? I believed it. So he said ancient Jewish texts, like the Dead Sea Scrolls, demons are the disembodied spirits of dead Nephilim giants who perished at the time of the great flood. And he's quoting now from the book of Enoch. And when they and all their children have battled with each other, and when they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them for 70 generations underneath the rocks of the ground until the day of their judgment and of their consummation, until the eternal judgment is concluded. But now the giants who are born from the union of the spirits and the flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, because their dwelling shall be upon the earth and inside the earth. Evil spirits have come out of their bodies, because from the day that they were created from the holy ones, that sounds, anyway, they became the watchers. Their first origin is the spiritual foundation. They will become evil upon the earth and shall be called evil spirits. That's made Melissa so mad she got up and left. That, like I said, is from Jewish tradition. Jesus was the first one to jump all over the Jews. He said, you have made the law of none effect by your traditions. And he meant several things by that, but part of that was their little Jewish books that were not scripture. So in this book, the book of Enoch, they actually negate the teaching of the Word of God by telling you that devils are the disembodied souls of the giants. And when the giants were all killed in the flood, that their souls came out of their bodies and were going, do I find on the earth? Okay? That's what the writers of the book of Enoch came up with, and this guy believes it. He believes a lie. And I don't like lies, and I don't like the liars who lie them. I'm like David in the Bible. I hate every false way. I don't trust this teaching. I don't trust it at all. And I fell for it at once, and I went, hey, do you know where devils come from? I never taught this in church, but hey, do you know where devils come from? Devils are the the souls of giants. Isn't it cool? Where'd you get that from? I didn't want to tell anybody where I got it from. But that comes from the book of Enoch. And you're going to be surprised now at the number of websites, pretending to be Christian websites, that are now saying the book of Enoch that was cast out by the early church fathers as being heretical. Now we're finding new ancient prophecies. And they make videos. They make videos on the book of Enoch all the time. And you go to some of these prophecy conferences, and they're prophesying the book of Enoch well. They don't know the Bible much, but they prophesy the book of Enoch. And they talk about giants, and they talk about the Nephilim, and UFOs, and everything else. They don't get it from the Bible. They get it from the book of Enoch, and I won't have anything to do with them. So, is that a lie? Yes. Deuteronomy 32, devils are the gods, the little g gods. So let's look. I'm going to give you, I do not expect you to turn to all these verses because I'm going to run through them real fast, okay? But I'm going to read to you places. You can turn to Exodus if you want. You can turn to some of these. Exodus 15:11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Okay, now we've already established Deuteronomy 32:17 is established that the devils, the things, the entities that are called devils, are part of a group of entities called the gods. And we're going to learn in a little bit that the gods are the angels. Now, they're given the term gods because of one important factor, and that is gods never die. They are, from the moment they were created to outlive humans. Humans die, gods, angels do not die. Now, some of them are going to be cast into the lake of fire, but they're going to be alive in that lake of fire. So, the gods are the realm of all angels. And we're going to find out that God created good angels, and God created, and I'm going to quote scripture, evil angels. Evil angels are devils. The Bible says so, not church tradition, and not Paradise Lost, and not some comic book somewhere. The Bible says so. So, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? In other words, let me read these other verses. Exodus 18:11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. So, who is it that's Lord of lords? Jesus. I want you to look at that verse. In fact, turn to Deuteronomy 10:17. I'm going to give you a little Bible doctrine help here. The capital L-O-R-D in your King... Turn Deuteronomy 10:17. The capital L-O-R-D in your Bible is God's name, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, in the Hebrew, Jehovah. The Bible's telling you in this verse who that is, who the Lord is. It's Jesus. Okay? Now, yeah, Deuteronomy 10:17. Underline those passages. Underline that. The Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. That's Jesus. He has the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he has the title God of gods. Amen. Now, turn to a little New Testament backup on that. Turn to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Man, I like it when the Bible's smarter than stupid people. Of course, I like it when I'm smarter than stupid people. Amen. Yeah. Where is it? Yeah. Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? None. That's the answer to that. None. The Bible's telling you, Hebrews 1:13 is telling you that Jesus is the only one out of all the gods who gets to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's the only one. Amen? The devil wants to. He don't get it. Jesus gets to sit at God's right hand. And God never said that to any of the angels, any of the gods. So Jesus is the Lord, who is God of gods and Lord of lords. That means that Jesus reigns over every angel, every god, and every devil. That if Jesus says to a devil, leave, then that devil leaves. Because Jesus is greater in might and power and strength and authority than any god and any devil. I'm about to have myself a spell. Amen. I like my Jesus. My Jesus is more powerful than your Buddha. My Jesus can make your Buddha kneel before him. My Jesus beats Molech and Chemosh and Baal and Ashtaroth and Zeus and every other god that there is. My Jesus is greater than all your other little puny gods. Amen. If you don't believe that, ask the moon if it can shine at noontime. Because my Jesus is the sun who shines brighter than the moon. I mean, the moon can stick around a little while in the morning, but he leaves by 10:30. He can't take it no more. And all you see is the sun. Amen? That's Jesus, and he is more powerful than the moon god or Jupiter or Saturn or Mars or Venus or any of those other gods. Amen. Let me read some more. Joshua 22:22, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know. 2 Chronicles 2:5, and the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Psalm 82:1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. I like that verse, and there's a reason why, and I'm not telling you. Psalm 82:6, I have said ye are gods, all of you are children of the Most High. And he's talking about the angelic realm, because he calls the angels sons of God. And that's why he said children of the Most High. Psalm 86:8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Psalm 95:3, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 96:4, I just kept pasting verses that talked about how God is bigger than the gods. And I just kept throwing them in here. I got so happy. Psalm 96:4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That means when you got a devil on you, Jesus beats that devil. Psalm 97, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. That means all the gods are going to have to kneel before Jesus. Psalm 97:9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Psalm 136:2, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 138:1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. He's talking about the angels. Daniel 2:47, then the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. So who's he talking about? Jesus. And a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Now, Daniel 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, got up the next day, called the Chaldeans, the magicians, the astrologers, and the sorcerers, four of them, and said, I had a dream last night. Tell me the dream, what it means. And those guys, they just acted like they didn't hear the first part of that question. Oh, great king, we'd love to tell you what the dream means. What was the dream? Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't remember the dream. You tell me the dream. And they said, oh, great king, there's never been a king anywhere that's asked such a thing of his counselors. Tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means. Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You either tell me the dream, or I'll think you guys have been making stuff up all these years and lying to me. So here's the thing. Either tell me the dream, or I'm going to have every one of you killed. And Daniel went into prayer with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and said, guys, the king was serious, and we're all going to lose our heads. Let's pray. And God showed Daniel not just the interpretation of the dream, but he showed him the dream. I mean, it's hard enough. Have you ever tried to describe a dream to somebody? You never get it right. You can never tell them everything that you saw, because most dreams are hard to describe because they don't make sense. And because they don't make sense, you can say, I was riding a horse, but it wasn't a horse. It was John. You know? But he was a horse. But anyway, so Daniel, God showed Daniel not only the dream, because God gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. God showed it like a movie to Daniel and then said, Daniel, here's what it means. God, listen to this now. The astrologers, the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the magicians, none of them have any power over Jesus. None of them do. Don't be afraid of witches who tell you, well, I'm going to cast a spell on your church. Cast away. Because the Bible says, it's almost like, the Bible almost says, like, I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says that, not in those words. But it says something about they're going to be caught up in their own things that they wanted us to go through. It's going to fall on them. So it's almost like I'm rubber, you're glue. Okay? Not the King James Version says that, but anyway. Now, Psalm 78, turn there. Turn there. Psalm 78. Turn there. You got to turn there. You got to make this connection. Psalm 78. I hope somebody's writing all this down. You're going to need it. You're going to need to know this, because the Enoch people are still on Facebook and they're all over the internet, and they're going to say, well, don't you know devils are the giants? No, they're not. Well, how do you know? Well, I read a book called King James Version. Psalm 78:49. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. Now, Psalm 78. Did you turn there? What context is that in? Psalm 78 will tell you what he's referring to. What is it referring to? Psalm 78. You go back, remember, walk circumspect. You look, draw a circle around that verse and look around it and see what context it's in. Verse 43. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. How he turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. What is that talking about? The plagues of Egypt. So verse 48, he gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. Verse 49, he cast them. Then it talks about sending evil angels upon them. The evil angels were the destroyers, devils. In fact, you see the connection here, Leviticus 17:7, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a whore. And well, that's a different deal. But evil angels were the gods or the devils that he sent in among the Israelites. Evil angels are devils. Evil angels are devils. Okay? Once I read that verse, I went, okay, Book of Enoch was wrong. Book of Enoch is stupid. It should not be part of the Bible, and our early church believers knew that. They knew it. They read it, and they said, this is ridiculous. This is not our doctrine. It's not what we believe. So they cast it out. They wouldn't have anything to do with it. Now, here's a comparison. I'm comparing Leviticus 17 with Exodus 34. In Leviticus 17:7, they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And then when you compare that with Exodus 34:15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods. Same thing. Leviticus 17:7 says they go a-whoring after devils because they make sacrifices to devils. Exodus 34 says they go a-whoring after their gods because they make sacrifices unto their gods. So their gods are the devils. And the gods then are not the good angels. They wouldn't be Gabriel. They wouldn't be Michael, who is the prince of the people of Israel. Michael, who fights against the devil in Revelation 12 and cast out the devil and all of his angels with him. So it has to be the evil ones. So here's a question. Did God create evil angels? If they're around, he created them. God created everything, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's John chapter 1. And so obviously God created them, but for his purpose. Why did God create Satan? Satan was an anointed cherub that covereth. And then pride was found in him, iniquity was found in him. He had an exalted place, and then iniquity was, we'll study that as part of this, but he had an exalted place, and then he was cast out of that, he was removed out of that office, and he is always falling. It's not that he fell once and then landed and said, oh, I got it. He's always falling. Every time you see him, he's falling, falling, falling. And when that serpent, after he did what he did, God said, I'm going to take the legs off of you. On your belly, you're going to crawl. You don't get any lower than a serpent. Even roaches don't crawl on their belly. There ain't much between them, but it's more than what there is with a serpent. So the serpents are the lowest. That was my point with that. Deuteronomy 31:16, I'm going to close this down here in a minute. They go a-whoring after the gods. That's the connection there. They went after devils, they went after gods. Judges 2:17, they go a-whoring after other gods. 1 Chronicles 5:25, they went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land. Those are the devils that in Leviticus 17, it's the same ones they went whoring after. So you can't match the two. You can't say that the giants' souls that left them are the gods. You can't say that. The gods are where they were created by God. They are a league of angels. 1/3 of the total amount of angels, 1/3 of them are evil. They're bad. They're devils. So, how many of them are there? More than we can count. So, how many of them can be on you in one day? There's plenty to go around. 7 billion people on the planet right now, and there's a lot more devils than that. By the way, the Indians own 330 million of them, or 33 million of them, because the Indians of India serve 33 million gods. 33 million gods they worship in India. Those are all, every one of them is devils. They are devil worshipers at their core. So, Pastor Rock, over there trying to minister to those people, he literally, his life has to be in God's hand every day for him to be still alive. Because just where he ministers, he's got 33 million devils that hate his guts and want to kill him. Do devils have the power to kill people? Huh? If God allows it. He's over there living it. That's why I like him so much. So he wants me to come to India in January. I don't know what that means about our friendship, but anyway. So who are, yeah, so who are the devils? They are, back to, they're evil angels. Okay, they are gods. They are the realm of the angels, the gods, and they are evil angels. So they have powers that we don't have. They have abilities that we don't have. You can't shoot them with a gun. Can't swat at them with a baseball bat. Can't blow them up with a nuclear bomb. So our weapons of warfare against them have to be different than our weapons of warfare against people. Okay? They have to be different. Stand to your feet. I saw a video the other day, and I'm going, I'd shoot that guy dead. They're looking for a guy right now. He attacked, got out of his truck, attacked a car with a sledgehammer, and actually hit somebody in that car with that sledgehammer, and then got back in his truck and drove off. And I'm going, whoever car they hit, I bet they wish they would have been carrying. Because that qualifies as you can shoot them dead. When they come running at you with a sledgehammer, you can shoot them before they actually hit you. You don't have to wait for them to hit you. That's nuts. Okay, but devils don't hit you with a sledgehammer. Okay? They try to go after your lust. They try to weaken you. And if that doesn't work, then they just come out and try to oppress you. Try to burden you down so hard and make it nearly impossible for you to function. And that's when that's when you stop eating. That's when you go hungry. Because they can't handle a fasting Christian. This is why fasting and prayer then is removed out of the modern Bibles, because that's your war, that's your weapon against them. So they said, oh, snip, 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 snip. Now all the new churches have no idea. And that was made very clear to me one time. Appreciate you coming tonight, I really do. Lord bless you. You learned something tonight, amen? So, praise the Lord for that. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for being our God. We thank you that you are the God of gods. And that there isn't an angel, a devil, a god that is greater in might and power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And thank you, God, for that. You've helped me, Father, by showing me that the power of the word and the power of prayer has a far greater devastating effect to the kingdom of Satan than anything else does. And Father, help us, dear God, to be full of the word and full of prayer and to be ready, like Minutemen, at a moment's notice to go to battle, either for ourselves, our families, our church, our pastor, our country. Lord, to go to war. And Father, this war is real. They are going to make sure that this war continues. Help us, dear God, to never let down our guard. And when we do, Father, you'll have to come to the rescue. Because we'll know, Lord, that only you can defeat them. Thank you, God, for opening up our eyes, opening up my eyes, Father, to the truth. And, Lord, continue, Father, to open up this book and make us aware of who our enemies are. We pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night.